God's guaranteed plan for you is to have all-round success. Therefore, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You are invited as you listen to the senior pastor, Daystar Christian Center, Pastor Sam Adeyemi.
I'm certain about one thing. We did not come just to preach. We came to prophesy. In 2 Kings chapter 6, there was a famine. It was really, really bad. It was so bad, people began to eat things that they would not eat under normal circumstances. They began to eat dove's dung. And then the Bible says it got so bad they began to eat donkey's head, ass head. And then it got so bad they began to boil their children to eat. So things went from bad to worse, from worse to worse, until 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 1, when the prophet Elisha stood up and said, "Thus saith the Lord, by this time tomorrow, things would have changed." I mean, they had suffered so much, things had been so bad, it was difficult to believe that things could change within 24 hours. And they said, a Lord on whose hand the king leaned, asked the prophet, "Even if God would open the windows of heaven, can these things be?" And the prophet said, "You just broke a spiritual law. The law is believe the Lord your God, you'll be established. Believe also his prophets, you will prosper. Since you did not believe the prophet, you will see it, but you will not experience it." So famine continues. Lack continues until you encounter the prophetic word. But we brought the prophetic word. And that means that lack, insufficiency, poverty, are terminated forever in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. From the moment Elisha spoke, it was countdown to supernatural breakthrough. So I prophesy, every step you take from here is a step towards breakthrough, a step into miracles, a step into favor like you have never experienced it before, in the mighty name of Jesus. I should let you know that a few of our materials are still out there, and it's the last chance today. We have the Real Woman Seminars, beautiful pack available for us. And tonight I'll be speaking from the book Ideas Rule the World. Ideas Rule the World. Sweet Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence. There's a wonderful work you have chosen to do here tonight. Do it. There is something you have decided to say. Say it. There's someone you have decided to lift. Lift them. In the name of Jesus Christ, put these words in my mouth. And as I speak them, under your direction, confirm them with miracles and signs and wonders in Jesus' name. Amen. Several years back, I had to ask God a question after giving my tithes and offerings for several years and expecting that every time I paid my tithe and give my offerings, that someone would just come after me and give me some money. I eventually got to the point where I realized it had to be a little bit more than that. God said he would open the windows of heaven, pour me out a blessing that I would not have enough room to contain. I suddenly realized I'd never seen money coming from heaven. My shoes didn't come from heaven. My suits didn't come from heaven. No car dropped from heaven. I said, "Lord, have to know exactly what it is you're pouring from heaven, so that when I see it, I'll be able to recognize it. He said, I'll pour you out a blessing. So I had to study on what happened in the Bible when the heavens opened. When the heavens opened at the River Jordan, it was the Holy Spirit that came down. He said, okay, when the Holy Spirit comes, what do we get? I studied Isaiah 11, verses 2 and 3. The Bible talks about the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of the fear of God. It talks about the spirit of might. So I realized I could group five of them under wisdom and one under power. That was might. I came to the conclusion that the Holy Spirit would supply to you the power of God and the wisdom of God. So when I pay my tithes, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 8:18 that God gives me power or the ability to get wealth. And I realized he would give you raw power, raw spiritual energy. Secondly, he would give you wisdom. If God prospers you in your thinking, he has prospered you in your life. Because as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And 3 John verse 2 says that your material and your physical prosperity will be directly proportional to your soul prosperity. So I now realize that what God will drop from heaven, he will drop inside you. And then whatever he drops inside you will attract what you want on your outside. Or it would attract its material equivalent on the outside. That was when I realized ideas are very important to us. One of the most beautiful discoveries a Christian can make is the fact that God thinks. He thinks. Many Pentecostal Christians don't. They are always in the habit of using their spirits, but not their minds. I change my spirit. And they feel that the more they use such spiritual language, the more spiritual they are. Someone had a dream, went to a shop, and saw some brains on sale. Three types. The first one was a Catholic brain. The brain belonging to a Catholic. The second one was a Baptist brain. The third one was a Pentecostal brain. The most expensive was a Catholic brain. Third, the most expensive was a Pentecostal brain. The cheapest was a Catholic one. And the man was asking, why? He said the Catholic one had been used so much. Didn't use much of the spirit. Used the mind to make decisions. The Baptist one had been used fairly some. The Pentecostal one was still very new. Because this Pentecostal Christian had used his spirit all the while. He had never used his mind. So his brain was still very new. He says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. He thinks. In Psalm 92 verse 5, he says, O Lord, how great are thy works. Thy thoughts are very deep. I came to the conclusion that great works are products of deep thoughts. How great are thy works. Thy thoughts are very deep. He thinks. In Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As the heavens are high above the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts and my ways above your ways. He thinks superior thoughts. They say ideas rule the world. God rules the world through ideas. Superior ideas. If you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, one of the most wonderful privileges you have as a Christian is access to ideas from the realm of the Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. My conclusion is the Holy Spirit would influence your thinking. We just spiritualize all those things, but what it means is he'll give you ideas. He'll put impressions. He'll put pictures in your heart, in your mind. And those pictures will dictate your future. And that's the truth. Your picture dictates your future. What you see is what you become. In Genesis 1, we read that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void. Darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. As chaotic as everything was, there was some piece of good news. God saw beyond the darkness. Physically, there was darkness, there was confusion, there was chaos. But beyond that, God saw beauty. He saw order. He saw plants. He saw animals. He saw rivers. He saw mountains. Beautiful scenery while looking at darkness. It's that ability to see beyond the obvious that positions the believer in the realm of the supernatural. So what he saw was what he said. Let there be light. And there was light. Now I notice that in Genesis 1, God only started creation. He did not finish it. He did the basic work. He could have built all the jumbo jets. He did not. He could have built all the buildings, the skyscrapers. He did not. He could have built cars, you know. He did not. He could have built the computer, but he did not. Because if he did everything, he would have robbed us of the opportunity of giving expression to our nature. Because we are created in his image. We are co-creators with God. We are co-creators with God. He did just the basic work, left the rest to Adam and his descendants. All he did was to hide this wood in trees. He hid Adam's bed in trees. Hid his furniture in trees. Waiting for the day Adam would look at the tree and see his bed. And then cut down the tree and bring out his bed. And sleep on it. He put his wool, his clothes on the back of sheep, waiting for the day Adam would just stop ruffling the wool and get his dress. Until then, walk around naked. It's a choice. If Adam refused to bring out his bed from the tree, then sleep on stones. Enjoy it. If you're wearing rayon, it's a byproduct of crude oil. So even some of our clothes were in crude oil. Powerful. So God hid everything. There's nothing new that's been created since Genesis 1. We're getting everything from the soil. God hid everything around us waiting for the day we would see them. And I want you to understand there are still many things that have not been created. Now, in Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, it says, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. God tied Adam's destiny to the seeds that were around him.
be fruitful.
It would have been unfair of God to say, be fruitful, if he didn't give them seeds. Because you can't be fruitful if you are not seedful. Good. So cultivate the seeds. Eat the fruit, but cultivate the seeds. Your future food is in the seeds, Adam. Do something with the seeds. Be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. It's just interesting that the only interpretation that we gave to that verse is to have children. Be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, rule over it, and have dominion. Now, if that verse only meant giving birth to children, then it would mean that the more children you had, the more dominion you would have. And brother, if you're a salary earner, you have a football team, the more of them you have, the less your dominion. He must have meant a little bit more than that. Why? We don't only have human seeds. We have all other kinds of seeds. Mango seeds, cashew seeds. All kinds of seeds. And says, cultivate all the seeds around you. The more you plant, the more you cultivate, the richer you'll be. Well, while there are natural seeds, there are also spiritual seeds. Words are seeds. The reality of your life today is the harvest of the seeds you sowed with your mouth yesterday. The sower soweth the word. I mean, come to think of it, if you hold a maize seed in your hand, and I ask you, where did that come from? You say, from another maize seed that was planted. And that one, where did it come from a maize seed that was planted? And that one, where did it come from another maize seed that was planted? And if we keep tracking it back like that, we'll land in the Garden of Eden. First generation seed. Now, that first generation, where did they come from? God spoke into the ground. He sowed words into the ground, and those ones grew out. The original seed is words. Words are seeds. Proverbs 18:20, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his leaves shall he be filled. So if he is hungry, something is wrong with his mouth. Words are seeds. But much more than that, thoughts are seeds. Ideas are seeds. When a person invents a thing, we say it is the person's brain child. So I discovered that brains too give birth to children. That's one of the most powerful discoveries I made. I had that many years ago. Brains give birth to children. This microphone is somebody's brain child. The chair you are sitting on, somebody's brain child. The car that brought you is somebody's brain child. The biro you're writing with is somebody's brain child. The design of the dress you have on is somebody's brain child. The bathtub you had your bath in today is somebody's brain child. Now here you are enjoying other people's children. Where are yours? Life pays you in direct proportion to the value of your children, your brain children. That's all. If you keep consuming other people's children but you don't produce your own, you will owe. It's when you produce more than you consume that you build wealth. You got to have something to sell, something to give. Infertility of the mind is worse than infertility of the body. Some people are so focused on giving birth to natural children. They say they want to keep their names. Yet there are people today whose brain children I remember more than their natural children. A Henry Ford had brain children. Soichiro Honda had children, brain children.
I don't know the names of the natural children of Soichiro Honda, but I know the names of his brain children. I know the Honda legend. I know the Accord. I know the Prelude. I know the Civic. Those are brain children. Amen. God wants to prosper you through creative ideas. The barest minimum capital you need for building wealth is an idea. So the poor person is not one who does not have money in his pocket. The poor person is really one who does not have an idea. And I'll tell you something about God's own kind of ideas. In Isaiah 55, there's something about God's kind of thoughts. Isaiah 55, I'd like to read from verse 9. When the Holy Spirit begins to influence your mind, check the results. It says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." If it's a God idea, it will triumph. If it's a God idea, it will break through every barrier. The grass may wither, the flower may fade, but the word of our God will abide forever. If it originates from God, it will win on this earth. He says it will not return unto me void. In verse 11 or verse 12, he says, "For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace." When you are open to divine ideas, joy and peace. He says, "The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." Amen. When you enjoy or experience divine ideas, mountains and hills are supposed to be obstacles. They will break forth into singing before you, and you will be celebrated. And then verse 13 says, "Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree." Amen. Oh, what was not working before will begin to work. Instead of thorns and briars. Okay? Instead of curses, instead of lack of productivity, things will begin to work for you. When you trade with divine creative ideas. Now I'd like to list very quickly how to source ideas. How to get ideas. How to get ideas. How to get ideas. 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 How to get ideas. We have the ordinary process, what I call the ordinary process, and there is the extraordinary process. Let's talk about the ordinary process. Identify a need. Identify a need. Identify a need. People need to put on clothes. With that, you get an idea to sew clothes or to sew clothes. People need to eat food. With that, you get an idea to cook food or to run a restaurant. There are all kinds of needs around us. And just by being able to identify a need, you can create a solution for it. With that, you have an idea, a money-making idea. Secondly, you can adapt an existing idea. For example, I come here to London. I see the way something is done. I get back to Lagos. I do it, but I give it a different name. Amen. There are some things that are common to human beings everywhere. You can adapt an idea. Thirdly, You can simplify an existing process. You can simplify, you can make it simpler, you can make it better, you can simply improve on an idea that's already there. You can do it in a better way. That's one way to get ideas. And then you can create a need. You can create one. That's what the people who manufacture soft drinks have done. Man was never designed to drink soft drinks. Amen. Adam didn't miss soft drinks. He didn't miss Coca-Cola. They made the soft drinks. And then they make the soft drinks. Then they bombard our minds with the fact that we need the soft drinks to be happy. And then because we want to be happy, we feel that we need soft drinks. They make cigarettes. And then they advertise taste success. They know we want to succeed. So for those who want to succeed, they now feel like they need a cigarette to succeed. It's just that the Federal Ministry of Health wants that tobacco smokers are liable to die young. What a contradiction. You said I should taste success. Now the Federal Ministry of Health is warning that if I taste success, I may die young. What kind of success is that? Someone has to be wrong. But I want to focus tonight on the extraordinary process for receiving ideas. The extraordinary process for receiving ideas. By now, I'm sure you realize if God will prosper you, He has to start from your mind. Hebrews 11:1 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which do appear were not made out of things which are seen. In other words, God used invisible raw materials to create the material world. So I say this, if you will amount to anything in this natural world, you must be a trader in invisible stuff. Thoughts are powerful. Thoughts are powerful, more powerful than the brains that produce them, because they have the capacity to outlive those brains. Our brains are simply receivers, transmitters and receivers. Transmitters and receivers. God is busy beaming out ideas from heaven every day. He wants to improve on His world. So when He wants to prosper you, He gives you an idea. Number one method, supernatural process for receiving ideas, prayer. 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 Many Christians do not enjoy the benefits of prayer because they do not understand that prayer is a dialogue, not a monologue. It's about you talking to God and God talking to you. Unfortunately, most people do the talking. When you talk, not much happens. When He talks, power flows. Why don't you let Him do the talking? Let Him do the talking. Amen. Let Him do the talking. Prayer. Robert Schuller said, sow a prayer, reap an idea. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and shew thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's the essence of prayer. I will show you things, he said. I give you video clips of your future. Prayer. So when I pray concerning a specific issue, I'm expecting an idea. An idea. Secondly, meditation. Meditation. Powerful secret that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob knew. In Joshua 1:8, the Bible says, if you meditate in the word day and night, you will make your way, and you act on the things you receive, you'll make your way prosperous, and you'll have good success. Isaac, in Genesis 24, verse 63, the Bible says that he went out at eventide into the field to meditate. Wow. So people used to take time before to think. Now we don't think anymore. We allow people to think for us. That's why we sit down in front of the TV for hours, taking in other people's ideas. Isaac would just sit down. No surprise when he sowed in the time of famine, he reaped 100-fold. He did it the way nobody else did it. He had superior ideas. So you've got to learn to spend time in meditation. 10 minutes of thinking can be worth more than 10 hours of misdirected effort. Another process, another method for receiving ideas, association. Association. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Proverbs 27:17. Iron does not sharpen wood. It depends a whole lot on whom you are sharpening and who's sharpening you. You associate with some people, you don't get breakthrough ideas, you get breakdown ideas. I'm serious. Association. When David spoke about the blessed man in Psalm 1, the first thing he addressed was the blessed man's association. Blessed is the man. And the first thing he said, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth not in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And he meditates. He meditates. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Good. And then I'd like to add just one more process. Just one more way for getting ideas. Giving. Giving. That was what my research led into. So I now found out that in the Bible, when people gave, God gave them ideas. Because the ideas were as good as money. When people gave in the Bible, God gave them ideas. So when a Christian is not conscious of the thoughts that flow through his or her mind, the Christian misses out on money. That's all. You remember I said in the morning, you don't recognize money with your eyes. You recognize it with your mind. Good. In 1 Kings chapter 3, we learn how Solomon gave 1,000 burnt offerings in one day. And the Bible says in the night God showed up. He got heaven's attention. And the question was, what do you want? The man asked God for wisdom. I read about a man in a book written by Oral Roberts. His name, R.G. Letourneau. R.G. Letourneau was a Christian businessman in the United States. He was into construction. As at the time Oral Roberts met him, Oral Roberts was 23 years old, a young preacher. R.G. Letourneau was a multimillionaire. He became a Christian, learned how to pay tithes. And all of a sudden, as at that time, they moved out by wheelbarrows in the United States. When he began to pay tithe, he noticed that he would have dreams in the night. And in those dreams, he would see earth-moving equipment. He had never seen them before physically. He saw them in his dream. Bulldozers, graders. Earth-moving equipment. So when he woke up, he called his engineers, industrial engineers, described what he saw, and told them to do the design. When they got stuck and called him, he would correct them. This was not what I saw in my dream. Do it this way. Then they would be able to go ahead with their designs. When they were through, he began to construct those machines. He became a multi-millionaire. I mean, for someone to have a private jet in the 40s, he was very rich. Somewhere along the line, he realized that as long as he paid his tithes, he got those dreams. So there was a time they had a slight problem in their business. So he did not pay the tithes. The dreams stopped. The business ran into debt. They couldn't pay their bills. when he prayed, the Holy Spirit told him that was the problem. So he called his engineers and told them, how much is the tithe that's due? They told him. He said, sell some of the equipment and pay that amount of money. They said, what? This company will go under. He said, in fact, double the amount of money. That is the secret of the success of this business. As soon as they paid the tithe, the ideas began to flow again. And his business was out of debt. Now, you must have heard about the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And you may even have read it. Napoleon Hill went to the United States to meet R.G. Letourneau. R.G. Letourneau used to do finance seminars around the United States. He used to teach Christians how to prosper financially and prosper in business. So, Napoleon Hill was on a flight with R.G. Letourneau. And he noticed that as soon as the flight took off, Letourneau slept off. Somewhere, sometime in the course of the flight, he woke up with a start, grabbed, he always had a notepad and a biro next to him. He just grabbed the notepad and the biro, quickly wrote down some things, put it down, and slept off again. So when they arrived at their destination, Napoleon, he said, excuse me, what was it you were writing? In the course of that, he said, did I write anything? He said, exactly. You woke up and you began to write some things. That was when he took the notepad and said, wow, we've been having a problem on one of our sites, and this is the exact solution we need. He said, I didn't even know I wrote this while I was asleep. Why? He paid tithe. Now, the problem with most Christians is they pay tithe, but they're waiting for someone to give them money. God is trying to give them ideas. They're waiting for someone to give them money. That's why we miss our miracles. When I pay my tithe, I expect God to talk to me. I expect God to show me things. I get visions. I get designs. I get divine direction. In Genesis chapter 31, Jacob was speaking to his wives, the daughters of Laban. And he explained how God transferred the wealth of their father to him. He told them, you can see your father has tried to make me poor. 10 times he changed my salary. Laban was wicked. Jacob was a schemer, quite all right, but Laban was a worse one. If Jacob was what we call 419 in Nigeria, Laban was 441199. He was an old criminal. I'm serious. He revealed this young man's salary downwards 10 times. 10 times. 10 times. So Jacob told them, I slept one night and had a dream. I like to read it. Genesis 31. So it doesn't look like I'm telling a fairy tale. Genesis 31. From verse 7. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God did not allow him to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckled shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore speckled. And if he said thus, the strict shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore strict. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. And it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream. And behold, the rams which lived upon the flocks were strict, speckled, and gray spotted. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here I am. And he said, lift your eyes now and see, all the rams which live on the flocks are strict, speckled, and gray spotted. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. Verse 13 is the key verse. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. What was the vow? Genesis 28 verse 22. Jacob simply vowed that he would pay tithe. That was why when Laban was about to ruin him financially, God stepped in. And as wicked as Laban was, he just couldn't handle Jacob. Whenever he said, look, the cattle that are spotted in color and speckled, those ones will be your own. whenever he saw those ones were the ones that were few and skinny, he would declare that those ones were going to be Jacob's salary. In fact, the Bible says he separated them 3 days' journey so that they would not crossbreed with the plain colored ones. But the Bible says whenever he said that, the plain colored ones would be given birth to spotted animals against the laws of nature. And then Laban will change it again. Come on, something is going wrong here. Okay, the spotted ones will be plain colored ones. Then the spotted ones would give birth to plain colored cows. And Jacob now explained how it happened. He dreamt and he saw an angel. And the angel said, the reason why I have come is because you made a vow to pay tithe. I don't even know whether he had started paying tithe or not. But he vowed he would pay tithe. And just because of that, God prospered him. In the night, he saw something. The plain colored cows were drinking water. And God imported from the realm of the spirit spotted cows that mated with those plain colored ones. By the time they gave birth to their children, they were spotted against the laws of nature. But Jacob also did something. In the natural, he had to put a picture right before those animals. So he made a wall. He would cut these sticks, make spots on them, pile them up as a wall, put them right in front of those animals. You see, you're going to prosper in very unlikely circumstances. If it's God who gave you the seed, it will prosper. God ideas are winning ideas. God's ideas are winning ideas. So when I give, I expect to receive ideas from God. Since I discovered this principle, when I give, I expect to receive ideas from God. And when God gives me an idea, it's as good as money. Because ideas are convertible. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Learn to keep records of the things God tells you. I see things. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, the Son can of himself do nothing, but whatsoever he seeth the Father do. He said, for the Father loveth the Son and sheweth him whatsoever himself doeth. The Father shows me video clips. Jesus used to see miracles. He'll be praying, he'll be meditating, and he would see blind eyes open. He'll be praying and meditating. He would see the lame walking. What do you see when you pray? I pray to receive ideas from God, even as a pastor. And I found out God's ideas are winning ideas. In this city, you will prosper. God will show you things. Every spiritual eye that has been blinded is opened here tonight. Every spiritual ear that has been blocked is opened here tonight in the name of Jesus. Now let me quickly do this. Let me quickly share how to turn your ideas into reality. That's very important. Because some people have ideas. But there's a wide gap between the ideas they have and the reality of their lives. And when you receive this idea, this inspiring idea from God, but you can't turn them into reality, it will lead to frustration. Okay? Number one, planning. Planning. Usually what you see is the end point. You've got to learn to sit down with paper and calculate from where you are to where you want to go. Planning. Planning. With planning, you can walk your way out of poverty. In Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son, or the ex-prodigal son, we keep calling him prodigal son, the ex-prodigal son, did some things that were intelligent. The Bible says that he came to himself. And then he made three statements. He started thinking. He made three statements that reversed the situation completely. He said, I will arise. I call that step one. He said, and go to my father. I call that step two. And I will say to my father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee. Make me a servant, as one of the highest servants in thy house. That's step three. All of a sudden, he realized being in his father's house was better than begging for pig's food. And he decided to go there. Three steps. The Bible says, and he arose. Step one, he was following his plan and went to his father. Step two, his father saw him a great distance away off, ran towards him, fell on his neck, and so on. The guy stuck to his plan. After his father had done all the drama, he said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee." He still went through the routine, okay? Went through the whole book. And then the father said, "Come on, let's throw a party. Kill the fatted calf. Put a robe around him. Put sandals on his feet." And then he made some statements that I found very interesting. He said, "For this my son was dead, and now he's alive." Now the guy was not dead physically, was he? No. So I came to the conclusion, the moment somebody's brain stops working, he's dead. And there are many dead people walking the streets of London. Their brains have stopped working. He said, "For this my son was lost, but now he is found." This is where you are. That is where you want to be. You can't find the route from here to there. You will get lost in between. "This my son was lost, now he's found." You can always calculate your way from where you are to where you want to be. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 2, write the vision, make it plain upon the tables. Do some calculation. Okay, as a pastor, for example. Okay, we want 5,000 members in the next 6 months. How? How? If we have 1,000 now, it means each person has to bring 5 people. And now, we did some survey and discovered 1 out of every 5 people that visits our church stays. So that makes it cheap. You want 5,000 new people? That means you have to bring in 25,000 so that 5,000 can stay. You are laughing. We are so used to using prayer and fasting to do everything, you know. In Nigeria, there are local herbalists. You see, they make some concoctions and they tell you that singular concoction can heal every sickness. It's a lie. But that's exactly what church people do. They want to use prayer and fasting to solve every problem. It will not work. It will work sometimes when the Holy Spirit wants that. But that's not the solution to every problem. We've mastered prayer and fasting. We left thinking. Then mastering prayer and fasting is like answering one question correctly when they said answer 5 out of 7. You used all the time to answer one. You answered it excellently well. You dotted it. You did everything. The maximum you will get is 20%. That's still F. Take time to plan. The second thing you need to turn your ideas into reality is synergy. Synergy. There's no way you're going to be able to do it alone. We're not created for isolation. We're created for connection. You can't do it alone. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9, 2 are better than 1. Adam was carrying seeds, but there's no way those seeds could have become children without somebody else. That's why God had to bring another person into his life. So please, your ability to build and maintain relationships is very, very, very important. Develop people's skills. He that will have friends has to show himself friendly. And then the last one I'll mention, persistent action. Persistent action. Look, you've got to do it. After all this conference and everything, and that's what I will use to close here tonight. After all said and done, do it. What will you do after this conference? You shouted, you clapped, you frowned, you've smiled. After all said and done, it is the doer of the word that is blessed, not the heir of it. In fact, it is not the analyzer of the word that is blessed. Permit my English. It is the doer of the word. Do it. Nothing moves until you move. One of Newton's laws of motion. All objects remain at a state of rest until a force is applied. Nothing moves on its own. If you see anything walking anywhere, there's someone walking it. Nothing works by itself. You've got to break the habit of procrastination and do it. After you have received the prophetic word, thus saith the Lord, you will catch a whale. My brother, you can't catch a whale on your bed. And you can't catch a whale in the stream behind your house. Go where the whale is. Amen. On the deep end. Hallelujah. Prophetic action must match prophetic declaration. So take action. Do something. And please be very, very persistent. You may not get it the first time, but you have to learn to keep doing it. You listen, I say this. If you have books on success in your library and you don't have any book on failure, your library of success is not yet complete. Because success actually grows out of failure. Most people don't know how to fail successfully. Successful people are simply failures who refuse to give up. And failures are successful people who give up easily. You've got to be able to handle rejection. Don't build a monument on your mistake. That you made a mistake should not turn you into a mistake. There's a difference between a mistake as a person and a mistake as an event. Learn to handle failure. The seeds of success grow in the ashes of failure. Learn the lesson. Forget the details. And get moving. In fact, I will advise this. If you want to increase your success rate, increase your failure rate. I experiment. People ask me, if you want to summarize your success rate, I say, pray and experiment. Experiment. Many spiritual Christians don't want to experiment. They believe once it is the Holy Spirit talking to you, you've got to get it perfect each time. You wait for a long time. You discourage yourself very easily. There is room for experimenting. Hebrews 5:14 talks about those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. By reason of use. In Acts 16, Paul was trying to know where God wanted him to go. The Bible says he was trying to go into Asia. The Holy Spirit forbade him. Then he went down to Mysia, and from there he wanted to go to Bithynia. The Holy Spirit forbade him again. Then he said he went down to Troas. The Holy Spirit didn't say anything this time, so he went on to Troas. It was when he got to Troas that a man now appeared to him in the dream in the night and said, come over to Macedonia and help us. A whole Apostle Paul. So who are you, for God's sake, to want to get it perfectly right each time? Sometimes where you are is not the place to hear. Troas was not even the place, but it was the place where he could hear. So until you get moving, sometimes if you take action, you won't hear nothing. You better get moving. Amen. The servant of Abraham said, while I was in the way, the Lord led me. Take action. Get moving. Amen. Take action. Take action. Remember what we said in the morning. Of what use is aim if you don't know when to pull the trigger? Start that business. Open that account. Take those forms. Take that shop. Go and meet that person on Monday. Write that examination. Amen. And please notice this. When you come across challenges, they just come to show you who you are. God will not allow you to be tempted about what you are able to bear. So anything that comes has come to show you what you can handle. Since God will not allow you and allow anything you can't handle to come, anything that comes, if you never handled it before, it just came to tell you, you've just arrived on a new level. You can handle me now. You couldn't handle me before, you can handle me now. So go, just go right ahead. Amen. Be like the tea bag. It just doesn't perform except it's in hot water. Some of us will not be at our best except we find ourselves in desperate situations. Even God knows that. Who wants to take risks? My brother. Come and see somebody in trouble. A friend of mine told me when we were in school about how himself and his dad, 70-year-old man, had gone to the farm one day. They were taking lunch when suddenly the tree snapped. They were sitting under a tree. The tree snapped and was coming down. Everybody disappeared. It was after they were saved that they now remembered the old man. So they came back. Baba, Baba, Baba. Baba too showed up from one corner of the bush.
Who said old age? We'll see that and not run.
The fastest people in the world are not the ones who run at the Olympics. Serious. You want to see the fastest person in the world? Try to time the person who comes face to face with a lion in the bush. If you can time, oh, almighty. Supernatural ability. The best comes out of us in tough situations. So don't give up. If you're going through a tough time, now don't give up. Your test will soon become a testimony. Don't give up. Don't give, if you will turn your ideas into reality, because some of you started business, the first 2-3 years sometimes can be very rough. Sometimes you may lose your sleep. You may think you're going to go under. Don't give up. If it's a God idea, it will triumph. Let the best come out of you during your trying season. I do not regret my trying moments. I have faced challenges, but great battles only come out, great victories only come out of great battles. Oh, glory. The best is about to come out of you. In fact, the answer to the prophetic prayer for some people here is that you'll be in trouble next week. I know nobody will say amen to that. I know that. Don't even need to try to impress me. I know nobody would say that. But then when someone here loses a job next week, it'll be, But Pastor Sam said that it's a new level. That is the new level. Oh, the best comes out of us through tough times. There was a man one day in a town. He got drunk every night. And this particular night, he got drunk, was on his way home, and the path to his house went through a cemetery. Someone had just died that day in the town, and they had dug his grave, hoping to bury him the next day. This drunkard came and fell inside the grave. Sometimes some things happen to drunks, and they become sober temporarily, you know. When this guy found himself in the grave, the drunkenness left him temporarily. What kind of a thing is this? But he was a short man. So he was trying to jump out of the grave. He could not. He tried and tried. The moon cast a shadow on the grave. So he decided to hide under the shadow. At least when they come to bury the man in the morning, they will lift him out. So he decided to stay there. Interestingly, there was another drunk who was on his way home. Singing. That one too got to the cemetery and fell into the grave. He too was trying to jump out. He could not. The first man was there hiding in the shadow, watching him. He tried and tried. He could not get out. So the first man decided to tell him, let the two of us stay here. When they come in the morning, they will pull us out. So, but before he said anything, he just tapped the man. The guy flew out of the grave and disappeared. In the graveyard, cold hands, in the night. What he could not do under normal circumstances, he did when his life was in danger. This year, you will not give up. This year, the best is coming out of you. Did I hear a powerful amen? Amen. Lift your hand to the Lord and just tell the Holy Spirit you love him. Tell the Holy Spirit you love him tonight. Tell him you love him. And please thank him for bringing you to a new level in your finances. Thank him for bringing you to a new level in your finances.
I'm going to pray now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Just thank him. Just thank him. Sweet Holy Spirit, I welcome your presence. I thank you. Oh, sweet Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence. We thank you. We bless you. We exalt you. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
We believe that the wonders of the Word of God have begun. You are destined to succeed. You will succeed. For additional tapes, CDs, and books, please contact us through the address on this CD. God bless you.